This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. In 1985, the breaking news story for music lovers was the awesomeness of the compact disc. Here's how WSMV-TV Nashville reported the breakthrough.
In a few years, your turntable may be gathering dust in the corner next to that old stack of albums. Instead, you'll listen to the latest hits on a compact disc player. And to tell us more about this new piece of audio equipment, Consumer Reporter Carla Winfrey is here with a report. I've heard about people that now have these in their cars.
Yes, they do have some small ones to fit in your cars, but now more people are buying them for their home because they're a lot less expensive than they were a couple of years ago. But this new medium, the compact disc, it eliminates a lot of problems that we have with our records.
But for many, that compact disc was not heaven sent, and the vinyl album will never be obsolete. In fact, vinyl is having a comeback of sorts, but why? Are you one of those people who cling to that turntable and those naysayers can pry it out of your cold, dead hands? Do you miss the old album art and the look and feel of the plastic? Can you really hear a difference, or is that confirmation bias? We're talking about the return of vinyl albums. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this afternoon by Carrie Colleton, and she is the co-founder of Record Store Day. Steve Alejandro is here. He's the manager of Hog Wild Records. Jesse Galvan is the owner of the Record Store Music Connection and the organizer of San Antonio Record Show. And welcome to The Source, all of you. It's great to have you here.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
So, first off, what is Record Store Day, Carrie?
A worldwide celebration of the culture of the indie record store. We think that a brick-and-mortar independent record store where you go to buy physical media is something worth celebrating, and we do it year-round, but we have a very special day in April.
That's going to be this Saturday, April 21st, right?
Yes, it is. All day long, all over the world.
So go over to your local record stores, and people may say, yeah, where? Where are my local record stores? Steve Alejandro, manager of Hog Wild Records, a fabled San Antonio record store, a temple of sorts. Talk. What are you going to be doing?
Well, we've been participating in Record Store Day, I want to say solidly, for seven, eight years. And I remember the very first Record Store Day. We had no idea what it was. We were alerted by a customer who came in and said, are y'all participating in Record Store Day? And I remember going to Dave, the owner, and saying, are we? And he Googled it, and sure enough, there was something called Record Store Day. And from, I guess that was 2009, somewhere in that area.
And so what do you do at Record Store Day?
Well, there are, it's 99% vinyl releases, and they're specially made for Record Store Day. Reissues of classic titles, 7-inch versions of songs that never had been released before. So it's mostly collectible type of stuff from all artists. So it's classical and heavy metal and pop music, and it appeals to the collector.
And Carrie, is this a celebration?
It is. It absolutely is. I mean, to speak to that, what he was talking about, the list of releases, which is really, it's the thing that people focus on because it's very exciting, but it's really only one part of what the day really is. But that list of releases, yeah, it is. It's 7 inches and 10 inches and full-length vinyl, singles, double albums, you know, box sets, and other forms of physical media too. CDs and cassettes don't get ignored. But the idea there is there are a lot of different types of people who like music and a lot of different types of record stores who serve those people. So the list of releases that's special, like he said, it really covers the gamut of genres and newer bands and older bands and releases that are brand new music and releases that are, you know, beloved older records, maybe given a new look or maybe just released as it was originally but has been out of a print for a long time. So we try and find something as a special thing that somebody can take home as a souvenir of the day. So there's a lot of different records being released. And then usually in the afternoon, it becomes more of a party, and people are there just to kind of hang out at a record store and thank the staff, and then the staff in return thank the customers for basically doing what they do all year long to keep a record store independent business going in that community.
Jesse Galvan, your store is Music Connection. What are you doing on Record Store Day this Saturday?
We don't participate in it right now. We will next year, but at the moment we do not participate in Record Store Day.
But you do the record San Antonio Record Show. What is that?
San Antonio Record Show is a place that you can go to purchase records, CDs, posters, pins.
It's like a one annual thing?
Every 6 months. Approximately, we put it on over at the Shirt Civic Center. And what it is, it's basically if you have gone to a comic show, you've gone to a coin show, you've gone to Comic-Con even up to a certain extent, it's the same thing. Bunch of tables, 100 tables full of vinyl, along with compact discs, 45s, et cetera, et cetera. So under one roof, you'll get in the excess of 100,000 records, vinyl available to you, and people come from all over the state to sell, not only dealers, but also independents, guys that work out of their garage and just do it for fun.
So collectors, rare stuff you can find?
Yeah, you can find everything. If you're a good way, if you're just starting to buy vinyl and you say, oh, it's a little bit too expensive, you can go to record stores, and including the record show, you can find literally tens of thousands of records for a dollar. I mean, you can start a collection on $10, and you got yourself a collection.
Yeah, I was at Half Price Books, and they had a Sean Cassidy album for $3.99.
The excitement is overpowering. It's overpowering. I can't believe that. Yeah. And also, you can find the collector records, the $100 records also.
I'm going to get a caller in on this real quick. Number is 210-614-8980, and Joyce is on the line. Joyce, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that as far as my record collection is concerned, it has to be, for me, a very emotional thing because I will not let them go. And I've had mine since the early 70s when I was able to afford records. When I got my divorce from my husband, he and I went through each and every single album, decided which ones we would keep and then which ones we would have to haggle over because it was something that we would buy together. Now, the other thing that when I was growing up like that, I had a time where I could only afford certain things after buying groceries, and an album was the next thing, with groceries and albums. So that's what it means to me.
Joyce, thank you for the call, and you were spot on about the mingling of the records collection as an important part of the union, and then the terrible, fighting over who gets what album as you decide to go your own separate ways. That's a big part. It shows you the emotional impact, the cord that runs through a relationship often is music, and we'll continue to talk about that as we talk about the vinyl comeback. Why does vinyl? Some call it a functionally obsolete technology, but we still have computers, but we still have pencils, and people do amazing things with pencils. I guess it depends on what it is that you want it for. It's not obsolete. It's just different. Talk about your love for it. We're going to have some music here. This is some of the hot albums that are selling, the top 10 albums from the past year. Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, and that is that album that she has released, is one of the top 10 selling albums, the vinyl album from last year, 2017, and they are selling like hotcakes. Apparently that the sale of albums have shot up in, 2013, the 30%, the number of sales went up in that area, and over half of the people who are buying vinyl these days are under the age of 25. So it's not just old fogies who can't let go of their favorite old turntable. It's a new generation discovering the feel, the sound, the love of vinyl. And why is that? We want to hear what you have, what's your connection to vinyl, or if you think it's all just baloney, give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. So let me ask you, Steve Alejandro, do you have a preference? So are you a music snob? You say, it's got to be vinyl, man, or it's no good.
Yeah, I prefer vinyl. I can't remember the last time I bought a CD. And I certainly, I don't remember the last time I downloaded, paid for anything to download. I do prefer vinyl. I'm that snob. But I grew up on it. I'm 52. So I had a Bozo the Record Clown player when I was 5. I think the first record I ever bought was a 45, Stevie Wonder 45, Don't You Worry About a Thing. And so it's been a love affair for 47 years. And it did wane a little bit. I did get rid of all my records. And so I'm in the process of rebuying them. But the whole experience of listening to vinyl, I prefer that to CD.
Well, tell me why.
You know, there's the thing of taking the record, just the things you mentioned before, taking the record out of the sleeve. It you have to use both hands to hold it. It's a big, it's a big item, and you put it on the platter and you put the needle down and you hear the needle slide into the groove. The music starts and you just live with it for 25 minutes and then you flip it over and you live with the rest of it. People have asked me what sounds better, and after thinking about it for years, the only answer I can come up with is if the LP sounds better to you, then that's all that matters. You can get into all sorts of spectrum analysis and scientific jargon, but if the whole experience of listening to vinyl sounds better to you, then it sounds better, and there's your answer.
Let's go to the phones, and William is on the line. The number is 210-614-8980 if you want to join us. Hey, William, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
So I'm a college student, and a few years ago, bought a record player, and I think the appeal to me is exactly like y'all have been saying. It's less about, I don't know if there's a higher sound quality or anything. It's more about the ritual of listening to a physical piece of media, because in this day and age, you just hit play on your Spotify, and it goes, and there's nothing really that goes into it, but when you pull out that record, you're committing to it, and it's a ritual, and you get to pick it with your friends, and it's a lot more involved and fun, I think.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. Jesse Galvan, do you feel the same way about the record as an experience, the physicality of it?
Absolutely. I mean, it's pretty plain and simple. It's also a hobby. Okay, it's also a hobby. Like, for instance, if you say, I've got 20,000 songs, and you raise up your little iPod or your little phone, and you say, I got 20,000 songs in here, you're going to go like, yeah, right, whatever. Or if you walk into your room and you have 20,000 albums on your wall and you go, this is my collection. What do you think looks better? Oh, well, your collection is going to be 10 times better. And it's exactly that. It is indeed a process. As Steve was mentioning back in the day, the young people are discovering what we already know, what we already knew, what you already know. You get home, I mean, you wait for the release of the record. Oh, it's Tuesday or whatever day they used to release the record. You run to the record store, you spend your money, you run back to the house, you get in there, you open it up, you take the record out, put the needle on the record, you read the front, you read the back, turn the record over, you put it on, you take it out, you put it back in the sleeve, and you put it away, and it was an experience. It was a thing that you did. Now, what do? You put it on, 3 minutes, you close your eyes, you're in the cloud, and then you're back. You're done. That's it. What's that? You know, this is all about the physical quality of it, the feeling of it, the being able to express what you're holding in your hand to the person that's in front of you, because you can see it. I can give it to you. It's all about the physicality too. And it's a hobby. How much fun is it when you're collecting the monkeys? You've got all the monkeys albums except one. You're looking for that monkey album. No, you don't go on. You don't go online to eBay and try to buy it. That's easy. That's not fun. You get in front of your computer, press it, it's $5, boom, gone. No, man. You go to a record store, you look for it, you talk to the person behind the counter, you go to the record show, you talk to 50 dealers. That's fun. Compare that to the cloud.
Okay, another caller. This is Chip. Hey, Chip, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. My point is probably this. What we're talking about is a mechanically reproduced sound as opposed to electronics. There was no compression involved. Let me say I grew up in the days of the BSR four-speed turntable. Thank you. Can't get belts for them anymore. But anyway, the whole point was the music was to be mixed in air. It was to be experienced. And it bothers me that I'm in traffic next to people with cars that are thumping so hard, I can't hear NPR, but I have a better appreciation of what they're playing than they probably do because they can't hear it.
Chip, thank you for that, but they can feel it. They can feel it throbbing through their nervous system. So he made some great points there about the mechanicalness of the reproduction of the sound. Because this is a record that was produced through a needle that was vibrating from the actual sound onto a physical plate, and then that is recovered from a needle that reads that vibration and then comes through the tin horn after you crank it several times and fills the room. If you have your Victrola still, but some people are putting that through a Bluetooth player or a USB. Does it make a difference if it comes out of your computer at the end of the day? So let me go to Carrie, since you're the record store day provider. And you heard the emotion of Chip there. What do you think about that?
I did, and I will say two things. One, to your question about does it matter and does it sound better, a lot of that has to do with what you're listening to it on. I am not one of those people who can really tell the difference between audiophile stuff and not. I do prefer vinyl. I've always had a working turntable. I do have other formats, but vinyl is my thing. But your individual setup is also going to determine, you know, what your end sounds like. Having said that, I think it always is going to sound better than coming out of a phone or a computer speaker or in little earbuds, no matter what. And then I think it's really interesting. I did hear the emotion in his voice, and it kind of resonated with me for a lot of reasons, and it really brings everything that everyone so far has said. Physical media is a human interaction thing. It's very human, you know. You can listen to a song, as he was saying, you can listen to a song on the cloud. You sit there for 3 minutes, you listen to it, or maybe it's the background of your day. It's whatever. And you may not be able to actually say, oh, yeah, 2 hours ago I heard that song, and or know what order the songs were played in. But if you're listening to a record and you're committing to it and you have to interact with it, and you would probably be able to remember better, oh, yeah, I listened to this record. I remember thinking about this while I was listening to this record. I know what songs played in what order. I got up, I flipped it. It's just a human interaction. And even if it's just one human listening to the vinyl, no matter what kind of music it is, it's a quieter experience because you're not in front of a screen. You're not with your head in the cloud. You're probably less distracted when you're listening to a vinyl record than you are, you know, with anything else. And it's great for groups when there's more humans in the room. It's easier to listen. It's better. You're passing around the liner notes, reading that. It's just this all-in-all human interaction. And I think I've met people in record stores who get just as emotional as the caller was and who feel really passionate about it. And even going back to what the first caller said about it kind of marking relationships.
Now we got an email from Brian. It says a big plus for vinyl is that there's more room for graphics. And so when we had the era of the album art was phenomenal. And so Carrie, is that part of it as well?
Absolutely. It's artwork. I mean, when you make a record, when you're a musician, you make a record, you're making a piece of art. Whether you like the record or not is subjective. You are making a piece of art. And the fact that you can not only have this art for people to listen to, but it comes as part of your vision and it comes in packaging and you can do what you want with the packaging and the advances in packaging technology are fantastic now. They could be even more great than they were back when the Rolling Stones put an actual zipper on the record cover. I think that's a huge part of it, and it's why any talk show you see on TV, they hold up the 12x12 vinyl. It looks better.
So Jesse Galvan at the San Antonio Record Show. Are there people that follow record designers and that will follow that artist from album to album? They that's what they care about?
I'm sure there are some, but the majority of people that buy a record just simply for the cover is just that they buy the cover art. They're going to put it on their wall, in other words, which is unfortunately not good for the record. But they'll usually buy like a really cheap copy of something just because they want the cover. And that's really it. I'm not too sure about people following certain artists. However, there are some artists. I mean, some of the original art on some of these album covers goes for tens of thousands of dollars. Any original art, just imagine how much original art from a Beatles album will cost.
Oh, yeah, Steve Alejandro.
So speaking to that, there's a reissue of a Stevie Wonder LP. I think it's Talking Book. And I noticed that they replicated the original, which I don't know if you remember, had the title of the had artist's name and the title also in Braille. And you don't get that with a download. You don't get to rub your hands over the Braille that says Stevie Wonder and the Braille that says Talking Book. And so that's an important aspect of cover art as well. And the liner notes too, how many of our favorite bands were we discovered that our other favorite band did a cover of that band, and we only know that by looking at the liner notes and saying, "This, who wrote this song originally? Oh, this is this band." So we used to read the liner notes meticulously to find out who was playing and who wrote this and who wrote that, and then that was just a jumping off point, and all of a sudden our record collection grew by 5 LPs. So yeah, the cover art is part of the thing too. And then also that Carrie mentioned, listening to it from start to finish, how many of our favorite songs were songs that we only discovered because we listened to the whole album. You know, we bought the album for the single. You know, we bought the Clash Combat Rock for Rock the Casbah, but then we found that the last song on the album was even better than that, and that became our favorite song. And you don't get that by putting your iPod on shuffle, you know? I don't think. I think that listening to it in the context of it and finding a new piece of music that becomes your favorite piece.
Well, that goes to the point, we heard the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper, Lonely Hearts Club Band, you know, there, Sgt. Pepper was produced as an album, and one side speaks one way, and the other side speaks the other. Each song is coming to you in a certain order, in a certain way, and the whole thing is produced as a single experience, interwoven, and so that's an album. You can say, I can understand why I would want to listen to that in that format, because it was constructed to take advantage of that CD, that album, and not as a CD. All right, we're going to take another break, and we're going to go with another clip of a song that is from our top 10 of the year of album sales. This is Prince and the Revolution, Purple Rain.
For nearly 60 years, the communist island of Cuba has been ruled by men named Castro.
En las condiciones de la inmensa mayoría de los países de América Latina, no hay otro camino que la lucha armada.
On Thursday, power will be handed over to a new president. It's historic, but will this transition lead to any real change? I'm Ari Shapiro. That story this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Could you be loved?
listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Bob Marley and the Wailers. That was an album that is in the top 10 of the vinyl sales from 2017. We're talking about the comeback of vinyl, or did it ever really go away? And Record Store Day is this Saturday. Go to your neighborhood record store. Say hi to your record fellow record lovers. Let's go to some of these calls. A lot of callers. This is Don. Hey, Don, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, thanks so much, and thanks for talking about vinyl. I actually own Imagine Books and Records here in San Antonio, and I just want to say hello to my friends Steve and Jesse.
Hey,
hi there,
Don.
Guys.
How's it going?
Don?
It's been too long. And yeah, and like Jesse, we don't participate in the official releases that come out during Record Store Day, but we do celebrate it as a community. We have a big show that night with five bands, and we tend to get a whole lot of foot traffic. We get a lot of calls too, which Steve, we usually send your way. People asking for those special releases, but Record Store Day has always been a good event for us. It's really about a record loving community. A lot of people come in. They want to talk about records. They want to listen to records, and they love, you know, just hanging out in a record store, which is always great fun.
Record stores have a certain special role in the community. In a way, they are a temple. You can see, you have these artifacts kind of there from the saints of the rock and roll. And people, they want to commune in this certain location. Don?
Yeah, except, you know, I don't want it to be sound too stodgy either. I mean, of course, you're right. I mean, it is kind of that way. I think with the people that come into record stores, and I think Steve and Jesse would agree with this, usually people come into a record store looking for either a specific release, and that's many of the people on Record Store Day trying to get that rare find, you know, that's coming out. Or they come in just to browse because they want to buy a record, and buying a record makes them feel good. And that's what we tend to get more of. And it's a blast. I mean, they come in and they're open to new ideas, and they start looking around, and we start playing records for them, and they discover something that they've never seen before. It's really a fun experience. I couldn't agree more with all the comments that have been made about the feeling of vinyl and how people connect to it. And somebody said a long time ago to me when I used to manage Apple Records. I don't know, Steve, you remember Apple Records, right?
Oh, yes. Yes.
And somebody came in, and he was only buying LPs, and he never bought CDs. And back then, we were mainly a CD store. And I said, why do you buy LPs? And he said something that I've never forgotten. He said, it's a human length on a record. You listen to it for about 20, 25 minutes. I can pay attention to a record for that length of time, and I'm fully engaged with it, and then the side's over, and I either have to turn it over, or I have to get up, maybe get a drink or something. And CDs are, you know, an hour long or more, and my mind wanders. So there is a very human element to vinyl, and I think that side, which is sort of predetermined by how long you can record on a side in good quality, actually is perfect. I can pay attention for about 20 minutes, really pay attention and enjoy vinyl.
Don, thank you so much for your call. I want to talk about another role that record stores play in our community. And sometimes they have to step up and become the defenders of our rights. And I want to talk about an episode that happened in San Antonio at Hog Wild Records in June of 1990, when San Antonio vice officers visited Hog Wild. They asked the owners and the manager to sign a letter stating that a rap album, which had been declared obscene by a Florida judge, would not be sold there. And that was the True Live Crew, Nasty As We Want to Be. And the owner of the store, Dave Risher, he refused to sign that letter, and he was cited, and he got in trouble with the law. And so, can you talk about that a little bit, Steve Alejandro?
I think that was the only time I ever saw Dave Risher wearing a suit, was in court. Yes, pretty much exactly as you explained.
People, come on, tell them the story.
So
that SAPD ticketed Hog Wild Records for trying to sell, for selling a rap album, their jaws drop.
Yeah, he was, technically he was arrested. And this was before any court in not only San Antonio or the state of Texas had made any kind of ruling on the obscenity of this CD. So this
it had
was
already been ruled obscene in Florida.
In Florida. So this was a sort of a prior restraint thing, and they visited all the record shops, apparently, and a lot of them signed. And Dave has been a champion of free speech and those kind of ideals his whole life, and this was an opportunity, not that he relished, because he was arrested, like I said, and had to go to court to defend himself. And there was a viable chance that he could serve time. The guy in
or
Florida,
lose the business.
Or lose the business.
It was a risk.
It was a risk. And so he said, no, I'm not going to participate. And the whole thing was started by a local anti-pornography crusader. And I don't even really remember her name. But so it was a sort of a quasi-sting operation where her son came in and bought the CD, and that was what the SAPD Vice Squad needed to go ahead and make these charges against Dave. So it kind of bubbled up, and all of the people, all of our customers and friends heard about it and sort of rallied to the cause. And I remember I wasn't working there at the time, but I remember we said, well, we're going to sell this CD. And we had people lined out the door to buy a CD that they didn't even care about. But it was about telling the state, you can't tell us what we can listen to.
Right. That's, we have a constitution that prevents that. Of course, there's always going to be challenges to that. And you need people who are going to stand up and draw the line. And who better than someone who runs a record store, Carrie?
Yeah, I mean, I think the rebel factor there is pretty big, and that works, that goes for all record stores to some extent. I mean, they've always had a reputation of being kind of the bad boys of the retail world. But
your MP3 player is not going to stand up to the SAPD.
They're not. No, they're not. And, you know, I don't think the cloud's going to do it for you either.
All right, let me go to the callers. You got a lot of callers. Let me try and get some of the money here. Armand, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call. All a lot of really good points by the record listeners out there. I just like to say that I grew up in high school with a pretty wide selection of vinyl. I joined the military, and I had to lose it, unfortunately. But in the last couple of years, I've really been collecting. 2 points. One, nothing really replaces that sound of a vintage pressed vinyl album. I mean, I've got some real old jazz albums, thanks to my friend Bobby J, a good influence on me. And then to me, one of the most important things about vinyl is that it causes me, and I think the listener, to just slow down and enjoy the music.
Armin, thank you for that. Let's go on with what the caller had about slowing down and enjoying the ride. So Jesse Galvan, owner of Music Store, the Music Connection record store, slow down, enjoy the music. You miss something by speeding through it.
And see, how does the song go? Slow down, you're moving too fast.
Some old Simon and Garfunkel. Yes. Well,
anyway, yeah, I suppose that's an accurate way of saying it. You do have to actually sit down, get the record, and hey, you know, take it easy and enjoy it. You know, I remember as a kid, I used to get into the living room, turn off all the lights, and I would put on the stereo the Moody Blues, Knights in White Satin album.
They just got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Exactly. And I would close my eyes in the dark room and just listen to that album all the way through from one side, and I'd just flip it over, enjoyed it the other side. It was great, man. They're talking about slowing down.
But we have the convenience of the digital age. I can listen to any song I want. I can have a discovery. You know, are we trading convenience for audio quality?
Well, it's overkill. I mean, when you can get anything you want, stop and think about that for a second. You know, that's overkill. How are you ever going to do that? At least with the records, you got your little stack of 50 records. Those are your 50 favorite songs. They're right there. You know, you can play them, choose out. I used to make hit lists when I was a kid. I used to make top 30s.
In a good way.
In a good way. Yeah, hit list. No. The top 30, you know,
yeah.
Like the top 30. And I, when I first started, I only had 15 records. How do you make a top 30? Well, I used to use the B-sides.
All right.
And there's my top 30.
Let me get another caller. We got this is Denton. And Denton, welcome to The Source. You're on there.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. For me, the biggest reason that I steer away from digital releases and streaming especially is because really you don't own the music. You're just leasing out the music. And really you're on a company's terms on how you get to enjoy your music. You don't get to trade it with your friends. You don't get to show your friend, like, hey, look what I bought. You want to borrow it for a while? So really you're constrained to these contractual agreements, you don't really truly own what you're listening to.
A great point, Denton. So let me ask you that, Stephen. So not only do you have the physicality of it and the artifact of the actual recording session in the studio, you have the permanence of it so that, you know, one of these days you just can't take down the Napster or whatever and all that stuff is gone. You have it. It's in your room. It's in your mitts.
You own it. If you want to make a mixtape, mix CD of it, you can put it on a CD or a tape. You can put that tape in your car if you have a tape deck or CD player. Yeah, somebody had once called me, a friend of mine called me, and they said, do you know anything about Apple? And I said, well, what's the question? Because, well, I'm trying, I can't get this song anymore. I can't download it. It's in my this folder, and I'm trying to move it onto this folder. I'm trying to make a hard copy of it. I said, I don't know anything about that. But I've heard stories about that, too, that there are limits to what you own.
You can tell about the other Apple, the one that the Beatles recorded on.
No.
Okay.
But also, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be one or the other. There are, you know, because even a lot of the new LP reissues come with digital downloads. So if you have a streaming player that you can put upload that into, it doesn't have to be one or the other. I prefer the vinyl, but it works for both ways for some people.
Right, so we have to weigh that out and say there's one is not better than the other, but they're different. Okay, this is Ed Sheeran. Perfect. Is that how you say his name?
He's Irish, so okay. I don't know.
Follow my lead. Well, I found a girl, beautiful and sweet. Well, I never knew you were the someone waiting for me, 'cause we were just kids when we fell in.
How you live, how you fly, but only if you ride the tide. Balanced on the biggest wave, race towards another grave.
Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. It's another of the top-selling albums, vinyl albums of 2017. And we're talking about vinyl albums, enjoying them, buying them, keeping them, having them in your clutches, listening to them. Why do you do that? Let's go to David M. He's on the line. David M., welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
I just wanted to comment on the fact that I queued up a lot of 45 vinyl when I was a disc jockey. I'm an old disc jockey from days back in the early 70s, and played records down in at KLAR in Laredo, Texas. We had the old turntables with the felt on them, and we'd flip that turntable on and hold on to the record while we talked and said whatever we had to say, and then we'd let the record go, and it just take off right on cue. It was just a lot of fun playing with the vinyl. A lot of our older records, oldies, were on four-track tapes that we had, because they wouldn't get worn out that way. But we had all of the original vinyl in an archive, and whenever one of the tapes break, we'd always go back and pull out the old vinyl and cue it up. In fact, I think I know Ruben Garcia, one of your guys.
Ruben O.
Yeah,
I think so. So you were at 1300 KLAR down in Laredo, Texas, doing the slip cue, the joy of the slip cue. David, thank you for the call. Let me ask Carrie, since you're the banner carrier of Record Store Day, what do you think started this rise in vinyl sales in the last decade?
It's been about 10 years, and Record Store Day has been around for about 10 years. I think there's no coincidence that the more people started seeing and hearing in popular culture about record stores, and the more we started doing more and more to get the word out about them through social media and press releases and what have you, that when they go into those stores, they're rediscovering vinyl. I also think people are starting to inherit collections from family members and getting into it, and I also think that the kids today, we've kind of gone a generation that skipped the idea of owning a record. You know, they can download everything. They didn't have vinyl when they were kids. They had CDs. They download everything, and now vinyl is attractive. And again, it goes back to people being human and not wanting everything in their lives to be on a computer or in the cloud. And I think that's why you see everyone said magazines were going to die, and that's not really the case. Everyone said bookstores were going to go away. There's not going to be any more books. That's not really the case. These things that are tactile and physical and human, people are connecting with because we're all human people. And I think that's a lot to do with why vinyl. People go back to it for a lot of reasons, different reasons, but a lot of it comes back to being just human and wanting to have that physical connection with the music that you love.
Here's another caller. This is Javier. Javier, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. Hello. Good afternoon.
Hey. Javier, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I have a comment. Basically, my comment is that for us, we lost a lot of the younger generation customers, at least for the past 10 years. For us, our sales were down. We lost them to downloading and, you know, iTunes and everything else, you know, that came with it. But, you know, a few months back, I saw two teenagers skateboard their way into my store, and they went straight to my vinyl racks. You know, at that point, I said, you know, we're going to be okay. You know, that younger generation is coming back and buying vinyl again. We have warehouses full. So, you know, for us, it's daylight again. You're hoping that, you know, things will pick up again for your business. For us, we've been in business 52 years, and, you know, we haven't seen it darker for us, you know, darker days. You know, these 10 years were very dark, but now you see the light at the end of the tunnel again for us. So we're that's my comment, basically, that it's coming of age again, and people are looking for vinyl.
So Javier is the owner of Del Bravo Records. So why did we ever get away from vinyl then? Was the CD thing a big con? Was it a consumer electronic scam? Jesse Galvan?
What is the best way to make you buy everything you already own? Everything. You've got 200 albums. They're yours. You bought them already. Well, why don't we just put them on this little silver thing, tell them it's better, a lot better, and they'll rebuy all their 200 albums. Guess what? They did. So that was the main reason for the CD. Sure, it's compact and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the main reason was just to make money. That was the historically the main reason for it.
And those original CDs were not very good. I think CDs are a lot better. The quality now is better. But those original productions of CDs were, the audio quality was dirty. And they really did sound inferior to the records that you were replacing at the time. Here's another caller. Let me get him a chance. This is David B. And David B., you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I started doing analog to digital conversion back when CD recorders came out. And people are not on the program haven't really touched on sound quality. One of the differences is that people singing and people using wooden instruments is a natural process. Once you, in the old days, when you put it on vinyl, you started natural and you ended natural. So there's an element of sound quality. You could use an analogy of an organic apple versus a genetically engineered apple. The GMO apple is going to look perfect all the time. But there's a naturalness missing, and some people pick up on it and some people don't. I happen to pick up on it pretty quick. But anyway, yeah, as far as the convenience part of it goes, digital music's very convenient, yes, but that's kind of like anything in life, that you do it the hard way, the long process of taking a record and correctly digitizing it. You're going to have a file that's the same size as a digital file, but it's going to sound like a record. But you have to do it the right way, which people aren't going to do. Most people are not going to do that. Probably 1% of your people that digitize analog are going to do it correctly. And the 99% are going to go to the thrift shop and think that they can buy a $2 record player.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work like that. It's a whole process. But the naturalness of it, you can maintain the naturalness of the music if you record it right. But
unfortunately, it's you're starting out at $3,000 or $4,000 worth of equipment.
Yeah, that's the problem. That not a, I could never afford that, ever in my life.
I can't now, yeah.
I had my clothes and play record player. That was all I had. But you know, it's also this discovery of the old technology is also being found in the recording studio, where a lot of artists are discovering the value of tube technology and older electronics and getting away from the digital, and they're trying to keep it as analog all the way through the creation stream in order to provide that warmth. They're able to hear it, and they want to bring it to the listeners and the fans. And Carrie, at Record Store Day, where do you see this going? Do you think this is here, the vinyl is here to stay?
I do. I mean, that's an optimistic thing on my part, but I work day in and day out with record stores and labels and artists, and I know that more and more of them are looking to vinyl and wanting, artists want to have their records on vinyl. Customers want to buy vinyl. Stores want to sell and stock vinyl. And one of the reasons I think it's going to continue and isn't going to go away very quickly is because we finally are seeing more vinyl presses coming online, whether that's brand new presses being made or presses being refigured, because for a long time, there weren't new presses being made. There weren't new presses coming online. And these are very expensive, difficult.
So that's the hot wax press that you're talking about, the making of the physical record.
The making of the physical record, and it takes a lot of money to put into that infrastructure. And the fact that a lot of people are putting money into that infrastructure, people who are smarter than me, means that they see it as a thing that's going to last into the future.
Right, but the people who produce the records, the producers, how are they, what's their enthusiasm for the vinyl, Jesse Galvan? Are they worried about, you know, having to spend more money to produce the platters that matter?
Are you talking about like the record companies
yeah.
themselves? Of course. It takes, let's say, I don't know the exact figures, but let's say it takes $5 to press a record, make a record. Well, the reason that they wanted CDs to take over back in the day was because you replace your entire LP collection with CDs. CDs cost them 50 cents. So what do they want to spend? $5 for a record? Or 50 cents for a CD? Well, obviously the CD. And a point that I wanted to make also, when you're buying records, it's an investment. You'll be able to resell them later.
Right. So it's like finding art. So Steve Alejandro, what's going to be happening at Hogwild Records on Saturday, Record Store Day?
Well, we open at 10 o'clock, regular store hours, and there's several hundred titles that are released, more than several hundred. And we try to get as much of the titles as we can, and it's pretty much what you would expect an indie store to carry. There's a Led Zeppelin 7-inch, and there's a Doors LP, and so there's all kinds of titles. People come, and they line up outside the store generally around 7 o'clock. Dave gets there early, brings donuts to everybody standing in line. So you got donut. If you don't get their favorite record that you want, you at least will get a donut.
Okay. All right. Well, that's something. It's round.
It's round.
And sweet.
Has a hole in the middle.
Just like a record, except you get to eat it. All right. So that's Steve Alejandro. He's the manager at Hogwild Records. Jesse Galvan, owner of the record store, The Music Connection. He's the organizer of the twice annual San Antonio Record Show. And Carrie Colleton is the co-founder of Record Store Day. We're going to go out with Michael Jackson. This is Thriller and one of the top albums of 2017.
You see a sight that almost stops your heart. You try to scream, but dare I take the sound before you make it. And you start to freeze, and so it looks you right between your eyes. You're paralyzed. You hear the door slam and realize there's nowhere left to run. You feel the cold.